Blog Talk Radio.
This is truly a day that God has made. We should all rejoice and be glad in it. This is a glorious time that God has allowed us to come together, to share a word of God together one with another. As always, it's a privilege and an honor for me to stand before you, a servant of God. God is awesome and he's worthy to be praised. There's no one that can line up with God. There's no one equal to God. There is no one. God is in a class all by himself. That's why he's God. That's why he have all power. That's why he is God. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before you, that God allow us to come together one more time. And for that, we should give him the praise, the honor, and the glory, because he truly deserves it. I want you to know that our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter, the 20th through the 35th verse. I ask that you all would read the entire chapter because it will bring you right in a place to the scriptures we're going to explore on tonight. I also want you to know that the title of the lesson is, If God Said It, You Can Believe It, So Just Do It, because it's always the right thing to do. God is never setting you up to fail. God has never set you up to bring you through hurt, harm, or danger. If God said it, it's all for your good. You got to release, you got to believe it, you got to receive it, and you got to do it. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and play a song tonight. The title of the lesson is God is Awesome, and that is so true. So I want you to open up your minds and your hearts and your ears. Listen to the words of the song. Say a prayer in your heart for the lesson that's going to go forth on the night and enter into this study with a spirit of expectancy, expecting the Holy Ghost not to let the word return void, expecting the word to accomplish what it set out to do. God said, if you ask, it shall be given. Don't take us coming together Wednesday after Wednesday lightly. Because God has ordained this and he has created this and he have all of you to call in week after week. Because he's working it out together for our good. Believe it. And I'm going to play the song and we're going to go into... When the song is over, we're going to enter into his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with praise. We're going to go to the throne of grace of God, and then we'll explore the words of God together. God is an awesome God, and the song is going to play. We're going to come back. Lift your body.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. Great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
strength where I've been weak.
Forever
he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say,
awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed.
My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living.
Somebody ought to praise his holy name.
Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it.
Your voice is safe.
Button on your phone and I'll open the mic. You know, we don't know if this is the last time we'll ever be able to pray because they say we're living in the last days and Jesus is coming back. So if anybody would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'll lead us in prayer and then we'll go into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. You have assigned for us to come together. to explore your word of God together. And dear Heavenly Father, I'm just letting you know that I welcome the Holy Ghost in this place on tonight. I welcome the Holy Ghost to open up the airwaves and then touch each and every person that is calling in or listening in on the internet. Open up their ears and their hearts and their mind and their eyes that they could truly see what God has to say for his people. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity because I realize that I'm not that good. I know that it is not predicated on me. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You're such an awesome God, dear God, and thank you for your son Jesus that allows us the opportunity to come before you in our sick state. Lord, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for your spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being such a good God, a merciful God, a kind God. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your way. I thank you for your master plan. I thank you, dear God, for all of the characters that you put in the Bible that you let us explore week after week. Some characters is showing us what we should do, and some of the characters is showing what we shouldn't do. Lord, I pray that we use the word for our strength. We use the word for our God. We use the word that can let us know what we should do, how we should do it, when we should do it, and why we should do it. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. I pray that each and every one of you was prayerful for the Bible study on tonight. And we're going to go ahead on and let God have his way. And we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit give illumination and revelation. Because I tell you all the time, I can only give information. This is not my Bible study. It is our Bible study. So let us explore the word of God together. You know, again, some more callers has called in, and I pray that you have your Bibles. You know, when you study anything, there's a book that you use, and when you're going to study the word of God, you should have your Bible. And the lesson tonight is coming from the book of Numbers. We're going to be in the 14th chapter. We're going to put emphasis on the 20th through the 35th verse. The title of the lesson is, If God Said It, You Can Believe It. So I suggest you just do it. And it is the right thing to do. I'm going to give you some background on the book of Numbers, because we're doing the first five books in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, in sequence, because we said at the beginning of the year we would start going through the Bible. I pick a few verses out of each book, which, you know, I pray that it get your interest where you may decide to read even more about the book, because I'm only exploring so many verses or a chapter. So I'm going to give you some information on the book of Numbers and hope that helps. You see, the book of Numbers is the fourth book of the fifth book of the law, which was written by Moses. The book of Numbers means in the desert. The book of Numbers means in the desert. And the name of the book comes from two senses taken of the Israelites, one when they entered the wilderness and the other one when they was about to enter the promised land, the land of Canaan, that God had promised Abraham that he would give to his children. I want you to know tonight that we are the children of Abraham, and the promise that God made to the Israelites is the same promise for you. You know, the Bible has promises for us, and the Bible tells us what God is going to do for us, but if we don't study it for ourselves, we don't read, you don't know what's in there for you, and you can't ask for it because you don't know it's there. You can't expect it because you don't believe it was said. Hallelujah. You see, Numbers began at Mount Sinai, Y'all know what happened. They were slaves in Egypt, and God sent Moses, and he fought with the king, not physically fought, but did these things against the king that showed God power, and they finally decided to let the Israelites go, and they left, and when they got to the Red Sea, the Israelites complained, "You could have left us in Egypt. You want us to die out here?" And they wasn't holding on to their faith, and they was fearful, and they didn't know what to do. And God gave Moses instructions, and Moses held up his rod, and the Red Sea was divided. They crossed over to dry land, and when the Egyptians tried to go after them, God closed the water up, took the wheels off of their chariot, and they all drowned. So they got on the through the side, and then they was out at Mount Sinai. You see, where the Israelites had received their laws and covenants from God, and God had taken up residence amongst them in the sanctuary. You see, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. In the New Testament, God lives inside of his people. If you never studied or read the book of the Old Testament, you probably don't have a clear understanding of who God is, what he can do, what he has promised to do, and many times why. In the Old Testament, you could see, even in the book of Numbers, you see all the time, if you want to hear God speak, visit the Old Testament. Because the scriptures say it over and over, and God said to Moses, tell the people this, or tell the people that. In many books in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the prophets, God gave the prophets instructions to give to the people. When that was God speaking. So whenever you read in the Bible and they say, and God said, listen to the rest, you could hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the task before them now is to take possession of the promised land. The people are numbered. See, the book of Numbers is also named Numbers because the people were numbered. They were numbered, as I say, when they first entered the wilderness, and they're going to be numbered again when they leave, and the book holds that name's Numbers. You see, the people were numbered, and preparations are made for resuming their march. You see, the Israelites began the journey, but they mumbled, they grumbled, and they moaned because they felt that their way was so hard. And they even questioned the authority every now and then of Moses and Aaron, which was God's leaders. You see, for these acts, God destroyed about 15,000 of them through various means. They arrived at the border of Canaan. Canaan is the same thing as the promised land. And for those who don't know, and you can research, Canaan was Noah, from Noah and the Ark, son Ham, grandson. That when Noah son Ham saw him naked after he had became drunk in the tent, I don't know why he cursed Canaan, and maybe Canaan played a part in it. When the Bible don't say, you don't know, but I know he cursed Canaan, and God is a good God. And way since Noah and the Ark and Noah people living, and Noah son Ham saw him in the tent naked, and Noah's grandson was cursed by God. And whenever you see the land of Canaan or the Canaanites, that's from Cain, from Canaan, the grandson. And when he did what he did, part of the curse was God was going to subdue and take his land at some point, and the Israelites is going to achieve the land that God had promised to Moses, that he knew he had cursed Canaan, put a curse on Canaan about, and now it's coming to pass. Follow your Bible, baby. Follow your Bible. But you see what happened? It wasn't that long after they had left and had begun the journey that the journey to get to the promised land was going to be a couple of days. Now, it's not always said, but I read it in the Bible, that God didn't allow them to go straight through in the beginning because the Palestinians was occupying some of the land, and God knew they wasn't strong enough, or they didn't have enough faith to go through there and have to fight with these people. So God sent them on another route, and that other route he sent them was going to only take about 2 years, would have, you know, lengthened their trip. So when they got to the right across the Jordan River, and God showed them the promised land he had promised them. And you know, God sent out 12 spies, and most people believe that God wanted the 12 spies to go out. But let's look at it for a while. God told them, go and subdue the land. God already knew in his master plan how he was going to work it out for their good. But the people went to Moses and asked Moses, could they send out some people ahead of them that can see what the land and everything is all about? Moses thought it was a good idea. The only thing that God orchestrated in that whole scenario, when they decided that they wanted to send 12 men out and Moses agreed, God told them how many. He told them, send out 12 spies and get one from each tribe. And that's why the 12 tribes of Israel are represented, one for each spy that went out to see what the land was about. Hallelujah. And the first number that they did of the Israelites leaving, because I told you book numbers is two censuses. The first census that was taken, they had 603,550 Israelites. Now you got to remember that the 603,550 Israelites, they only counted men. Women weren't counted back then, neither was children. So if you say the number of people that really left, and that number of 603,000, they estimated that when Moses started the journey, he had 2.5 million people that crossed the Red Sea with him. Could you imagine being a leader with that many people trying to keep them in order and try to have them to do the right thing? That was a job. But you wouldn't understand how tedious the job was when you don't deal with the facts. So that's what was going on in the book of Exodus. And they got to the promised land, and Moses allowed them to send the spies out. 12 spies went out. 10 came back with a bad report. Only Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report, and this disgusted God, because he had already told him, I'm going to be with you. If God say go, wherever God guides, he provides. And if God say he's with you and you trust it, you can't fail with God. But because they had asked to go out, they went out and then they came back with a bad report. God showed them the promised land. They could look over the Jordan River and see the promised land. But God said, because of your lack of faith, hallelujah. Come on now. Y'all think we missing some blessing because of lack of faith? He said, because of your lack of faith and allowing fear to come upon you. He said, you see that promised land? He said, now I done promised it to Abraham, so you will get there. But because of the disobedience, y'all asked that the people go out and spy. They spied for 40 days. God said, now what I'm going to do is, he said, that's the promised land right outside the Jordan. He said, but what you're going to do, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. He said, I'm going to give you 1 year for each day you was out and come back with this kind of report to me. God is still an awesome God. So they had to wander around. He said, everybody over the age of 20 will not see the promised land. You're going to die here in the wilderness. And he said a new generation will see it. That's some of the things in Numbers, and it's much more. If you want to see the rest of it, just continue to read. And we're going to go in our scriptures for tonight because of the time restraint. And we're going to start with the 20th verse. For those who may have just came on, we're in the 14th chapter of Numbers. We're at the 20th verse, and we're going to read the 20th through the 24th. We're going to expound on it, and then we're going to go to the rest of the scripture. And the 20th verse reads, "And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word." Now, I asked you to read the 14th chapter, and if you looked up there, God was fixing to wipe them out when they did it. But Moses prayed, and God heard him. And now God is saying, "And I have pardoned according to that word," talking about the prayer that Moses prayed. God do answer prayers, but he answers them when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. Come on now. But God pardon according to the word. But as truly, but look what he said, "I'm going to pardon it. I'm going to let them live. They're going to wander for 40 years. Everybody who was able to fight in battle, not the women, the children, and not the priests. The Levites were not counted because God had ordained them to take care of the affairs of the church, the temple, because they didn't have churches at that time. But they was assigned to do that, so they weren't counted. But Moses said he was going to wipe them out. Moses prayed, he said, in the 20th verse, "And I have pardoned according to thy word." And then he said in 21, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with my glory, filled with the glory of the Lord." And 22, "Because all those men which had seen my glory," all of them that came back with a bad report, he say, "and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times." He said, "I did the miracles. I showed them my glory. I walked with them. I talked with them. And they came up against me 10 times. He said, "and have not hearkened to my voice." 23 says, "Surely they shall not see the land which I sweared unto their father. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully. He say, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Now, what God is saying, only two of the 12 spies gave a good report. You see, they trusted that where God guides, he also provides. You see, they remembered the great miracles and the provisions that God had done for them. You see, those two spies. God had led the Israelites out of slavery by the Egyptians through the isolated desert. You know, God had a cloud that he led them by day, and he used fire to lead them by night. And whenever they saw the cloud or the fire, they knew that God was right there in their presence. God is a good God. You see, where he provided bread from heaven, which is called mammon, y'all know the story. Every morning as the dew dropped on the ground, and when the dew was dissolved, there was mammon. They say it was a wafer, and it was sweet, and they just had to pick it up and eat it. You see, he gave them water when they needed it. They got so greedy and cheeky till he was giving them mammon. At some point, they say, "We tired of this food. We our palate needs something else," and he allowed meat to come from the sky. Hallelujah. You see, while they was in the desert for the 40 days, for the 40 years, their feet never swollen. Their shoes and their clothes never wore out. And he protected them from all of their enemies. If you have a picture of them walking in a wilderness, you may think nobody else was there, but there were lions. and there was inhabited places. And sometimes they had to go through there. God commanded them to take over these people or just go through these people laying the right way to buy what you need and ask them, you know, to pass through it. It wasn't just like that they were the only ones out there. Because remember, the Palestinians and the Arabs lived in the desert. Hallelujah. And now they was at the very edge of the promised land and come out with that bad report. You see, when Joshua and Caleb tried to encourage them to take the last step of faith and enter the promised land, the people refused. There is a saying that I think we all know, and it says, you can bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. You see, two wise men encouraged the people to act on God's promise and to move ahead into the promise. You know, I could imagine that Caleb and Joshua was asking them, look, y'all, won't you hold on to the confession of your faith? And if God said it, just do it because it's the right thing to do. God has never forsaken us nor ever left us. They could have used the word of God to strengthen themselves, but they decided to just have a pity party. You see, it appeared that no matter how much God does for some people, it is never enough. You see, the people rejected their advice, Caleb and Joshua, and they even talked about them. I know you read it in the scripture. They took some stones to stone them. They was trying to kill them because they didn't want to hear what they have to say. Learn how to take good advice. Evaluate it. Listen. If it's good for you, use it. If it's not, file it in file 13. You see, they should have taken the advice and evaluated it carefully, comparing it to the teachings of God's word and the evidence. Come on, y'all. The evidence that God had provided. You know, God always give us evidence of the things that he is able, willing to do for us and to us. But you see, right now God is saying, enough is enough. Surely they shall not see the land that I swear to their fathers, which is, you know, in the scripture. But my servant Caleb. And when we look at the 21st verse, we're going to read the 21st verse all the way to the 32nd verse. And the scriptures reads as this, 25th. Now the Ammonites and the Canaanites, come on now, the Canaanites, remember when you see Canaanites or you see Canaan, that's where the land, the promised land, which was the land of Canaan, was where the Canaanites lived. The Canaanites was Noah's son, Ham's son. Noah's son, Ham's son, Noah's grandson that God had cursed after Noah had landed on dry land and made wine from grapes. Excuse. They say, now the Hamonites and the Canaanites dwell in a valley. That's what the scriptures say. I want you to know that these were the Israelites' enemies. I put that in there. He said, tomorrow, turn you and get into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long, this is God saying, listen, watch what God said. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? This is God. And then he says, I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me. Then on 28, he said, look, say unto them, as truly as I live, said the Lord. God speaking, y'all. As ye have spoken in my ear, listen to God, so will I do to you. Hallelujah. And the 29th verse says, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, the census that they had taken and got the number, the 603,550, he said, the number of you, according to the whole number, from 20 years old and up, which have murmured against me. And 30 said, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save, meaning except, Caleb, the son of Jephurim, and Joshua, the son of Nun. He said, now watch this. This God's still talking now. Y'all listening to the voice of God tonight. On 31, he said, but your little ones, which ye said should be prey. What he's saying here, see, they told him, you're going to send us in that land, and these people are there, and it's too much for us, and you're going to send us there, and they're going to hurt our children and our wives. But look what he tell him in 31. But your little ones, which ye said would be a prey, then will I bring in, they will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. Now, this is still God talking. He said, but as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. The word of God is already blessed. The voice of God is speaking in our ear tonight. You see, God is saying, now it's my turn to speak. As you have spoken in my ear, I'll do so now to you. All of you 20 years old, 20 years and older, that is able to go into war. Because see, he said that's who would die. Everyone 20 years or older that was able to go into war. So it was against the men who went out and looked at the land and came up with this decision, would not reach the promised land. No one but Caleb and Joshua, the little ones, the new generation who you said would perish in Cana, they're the ones that's going to inherit it. And it's almost as if God is saying, I'm through with you. Don't ever get God to the place where he want to be through with you, wash his hand for you, getting sick and tired of being sick and tired of you and your actions and how you do, and believing you afforded the privilege to do it any kind of way, and God have to accept the crumbs that you're giving. When he look at your time, you got so many hours in a day, and you use your time here, there, and everywhere. How much do you give him? Your talents. Are you using what God has given and instilled in you? In the book of Psalms 139, he said, while you was in your mother's womb, I took and put your inner parts in. He said, and then I came back and I fashioned you with my hand in your mother's womb. God deserved the honor, the glory, and the praise because he's in a class all by himself. And if we read 30 to 35, our last verses, 33, 4, and 5, and it said, and the children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So for those who didn't know why the children was in the wilderness 40 years, now you know. You know, God has some places he want to bring you to, and a place that he want to bring you to might be around the corner. But, you know, you're too stubborn, and, you know, you don't trust him, and you're not paying attention. You don't have yourself in position, and you're not listening to what God is saying to you. And you see, you might have to go all the way to another city and then come back to find it. Your children shall wander in the wilderness 33 for 40 years and bear your whoredom until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And 34 say, after the number of days in which ye search for the land, even 40 days, each day for 1 year, shall you bear your infirmities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach, a promise. This is God said it. This is God teaching, talking. And the Lord hath said, he said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they should die. You know, we live under grace. You know, this was under the law, and we live under grace. And, you know, God is so grateful and so gracious and so loving and so kind and so patient till we sometime believe. I'm not going to say that we get away with things, but like God, if God loves us so much, he won't put his wrath upon us. But this is God. God did not play. All of those men that was over 21 and able to go in battle before they reached the promise, and he killed them by plagues. And one time he opened up the ground and so many of them went in there, and he burned some of them up with fire, but none of them got to the promised land. You see, here we see that God said, you went out and spied to a land for 40 days, and for each day you will receive a year to wander. You see, God's judgment came in the form the people feared most. You know, when they left Egypt and they was in the wilderness, and every time they came up across a bump in a road, they, you know, they cried out because, you know, we don't want to die in the wilderness. You could have left us in Egypt. We don't want to die in the wilderness. And now here, because of their disobedience and their lack of faith, the thing that they dreaded the most is what's going to be their punishment. And every one of them died in the wilderness. Now, God spoke. The scriptures was God speaking. You see, now they wish they had the problem of facing the giants. You see, because when they went to the promised land, they came back with a report that those people over there are big people. They're bigger than normal. Well, guess what? Those people was from the family of Goliath. Do you remember the giant Goliath with David? They were very abnormal-sized people. And when the spies saw this, 10 of them, not Caleb, not Joshua, they got scared. And they said that the city was fortified, if I'm saying it right, by walls around them, and the walls were so high. But they even said in a report that God said, I'm going to give you a land of milk and honey. They said the people are too big, the walls are too high, the people are too strong, there's too many of them. They said, but it is a land of milk and honey. Hallelujah. Now they wish they had the problem of facing the giants in the fortified cities of the promised land. Failing to trust God often brings even greater problems than those we originally faced. You know how you fail to trust God and you mess it all up, and when you hit rock bottom and you have nowhere else to go and nobody else want to come to your rescue, because they say when you don't have nothing, nobody want to be around you. Come on, y'all. And everybody loves a winner, but you're not winning now. But you see, failure to trust God often bring even greater problems than those we originally faced. And then you wind up having to come back to God, because God is the source. You see, God led his people to the edge of the promised land, just as he said he would. God was ready, willing, and able to give them the land of Canaan, the promised land, as he had promised their forefathers. But the people didn't want it. You see, by this time, God had put up with a lot. You know, they told him, oh, we hungry. Oh, the water is bitter. Oh, the Red Sea, we at the edge. They're going to take us. Oh, this and oh, that. And when Moses went into Mount Sinai to speak with God, he stayed longer than they thought. And all of the treasures that God had told him, he said, you see, when y'all leave Egypt, he said, go to all the people. He said, because the fear of God is in them now. And you ask them for what you want, and they're going to give them. See, God never send you nowhere empty-handed. They got all of the jewels and the golds and the silvers, you see, and they had it. So they was working with something. But Moses stayed a little too long with God. The people began to complain, and they decided, maybe they thought Moses wasn't coming back, or maybe they decided, thought God had died. So what they do, they're going to make themselves a golden calf with what God has given them. That's just like God allows us to have money, and we do whatever we want with it. Come on, y'all. It's almost kind of like the same thing. They took the gold and silver and made a golden calf and started worshiping it. But you know how the story goes. Moses come down at the time he was supposed to come down. Moses was on time. They jumped the time because of impatience. Moses come down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments that God had wrote with his personal finger to give to the people. And here they are worshiping a golden calf, an idol god. And God said in the scripture, at least 10 times they refused to trust and obey me, and that's some of the 10 things. You see, if you're not running to God, you are running into problems. Because if God said it, you can believe it. So just do it because it's the right thing to do. You see, a journey that would have only taken days ended up taking 40 years due to their disobedience and lack of faith. Some might say that this judgment of wandering in the wilderness for 40 years in the desert was too harsh. But if you read the scriptures up early, it's not compared to the instant death that God had first threatened. And then, like I told you earlier, Moses prayed and God pardoned them. You see, instead of giving all of them instant death, they could have died right then. They wasn't getting to the promised land, and they wasn't going to die in the wilderness. But Moses prayed God pardon them, and they wandered 40 years. You see, instead, God allowed the people to live. God, punishment. Come on, y'all. See, every time God has wrath, if you read in the Bible, after the wrath, there's also, let me find a word. After the wrath, if God do some punishments in wrath, he, you know, have to chastise you. And by the way, God said if he don't if you're not chastised by God, you're not one of his children. And the Bible say you're a bastard. But he chastised them, but if he made a promise, it's still going to come to pass. You see, God's punishment was not permanent. In 40 years, a new generation would have a chance to enter the promised land. You see, God made a promise to Abraham, and he will never go back on his word. Not if he give you a word, he won't go back on it. And he gave Abraham. There's many times in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, when God's talking to the children of Israel, and they just so hard-headed, and they're doing it as if they're afforded the privilege to do it the way they want. You see, they want to make up all the rules and regulation, what comes in their narrow mind, because they're not lining it up with the word of God. And I know so many people like that today. They make up what they believe God has to do and take, and that's the way it's going to be. But that's ludicrous. If that's the way it could be, why would God have to inspire 40 men to write the Bible, which consists of 66 books? You know, a Bible that has 11,168 or something like that chapters, 31,000 verses. and everything in the Bible is necessary for your correction and your repute. And everything is in there. It's for something for you to use to get you to where God wants you to be. And where God wants you is where your success is. How you know people looking for love in all the wrong places? They have all of the money. They have the cars. They have the fine cars, the fine house. They look good, and yet they're not happy. You see, here we see that it's not what they had. You see, here we see it's not that they had got it right, but it was a promise that God had given. You see, in the Bible, that's what I was fixing to say, and I was trying to let the Holy Ghost bring it back to the mind. There's plenty of places in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God say, you know, y'all ain't obeyed me. He said, but you see, I have a master plan, and my master plan and my will going to go forth. So even though you're not in position, even though you haven't hearkened into my voice, my time, which is not your time, is now. He's saying we're going to go a little further. You see, they were still complaining when God brought them in the promised land. And man has been complaining ever since. And even today, the Israelites, which were the Jews, many have not accepted Christ as the Savior, the Son of God, even today. And as I close with this, you see, when the Israelites realized their foolish mistakes, they were suddenly ready to return to God. But God didn't confuse their admission of guilt with true repentance. You ever had somebody apologize to you and you say it wasn't a true apology? Because he knew their heart. One thing you always have to remember, that God sees the hearts, the contents of the hearts, the attitude in which you do something, the intent in which you do something. We was talking about sacrifices the last 2 weeks, and, you know, we know that Cain and Abel sacrificed unto the Lord. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he didn't accept Cain's. And, you know, the Bible doesn't say exactly why he didn't accept it, but I could imagine it had something to do with the quality in which he gave it. And it probably had something also to do with the intent of how he gave it and the attitude that he gave it. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. God don't want you to give. And Jesus, when Jesus was asked about giving, Jesus said, give what you want to give with your whole heart. Because if you give it grudgingly and you don't give it happily, it doesn't count. Because God sees the heart. Sure enough, they soon went their own way. You see, sometimes right actions, and this is something y'all always should remember, good intentions. So many people have good intentions. But sometimes right actions or good intention comes too late. We must not only do what is right, but also do it at the right time. That's called being in position. And if God said it, you can believe it. Just do it because it's the right thing to do. That's our lesson for tonight. And I pray that it has, sparked your interest enough that you maybe read the 13th chapter and we expound on a 14th and maybe you'll take time and read the 15th. You know, next week we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. I don't know what chapter or verses at this time, but we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. So if you want to take some time and start exploring this, I know it'll be a good thing. At this time, as always, if anybody have a comment, a concern, a praise report, a word of encouragement, you can press the one button on your phone. I have a caller. Your number is 228-493. You can speak at this time. Sister McGee?
This is Jeanette. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't really press the button, but I'm inspired by the lesson. I go to Bible study with Diane on other occasions, and we went through that lesson, and it's an inspiration to me, the lesson you had tonight. I didn't press the button, but I love the Bible study, and I look forward to next week, next Wednesday.
All right. I didn't press your, I didn't open your mic without the button being pressed. You might not know you pressed
okay.
it, so I don't want you to think I just opened your mic. The one button was
no.
pressed. And for those who don't know, that's my sister.
But I'm, yeah.
Go ahead.
But I'm always ready. I'm ready to say something about the Lord.
Okay, go ahead.
Even though I didn't realize that I pressed the button.
Okay, God must have pressed it for you.
I'm truly inspired by the lesson tonight.
Praise God. And for those who may remember some time ago, it was about 2 years, almost exactly, that we were praying for Jeanette. She was going through with an illness, and you heard you guys here tonight. She's still here in the land of the living, and she's giving a report. So I guess, you know, it's sometimes good when we ask for prayer and God make everything all right, we could give him a praise report. So I'm just saying thanks to each and every one of you for all of the prayers that you sent out for my sister in her time of need. I just want to say glory, hallelujah. And God, you know, healed her body. If there's anyone else who'd like to say anything, anyone have a prayer request, you could press the one button at this time, and I'll open your mic, and we could include the prayer that you're requesting. They have a caller that's always on the line. Her name is Sandra, and Sandra called and asked me to ask you guys to pray for her as she traveled to Atlanta to be with her daughter, who has been diagnosed with some sickness, and she wants us to pray for her daughter. Sandra, I can't remember her daughter's name, I'm sorry, but the lady who comes on the line on Wednesday, name is Sandra, and Sandra is asking that we pray for her daughter. Also, I have a classmate by the name of Billy Gills that having some issues with his health at this time, and I'm asking that you lift him up. Also, I have another classmate. I'm talking about the Culver class of 71. Anybody know anything about Culver? You know, we so serious. But I have another classmate named Eugene Thornton, and his mother passed away the other day. So I'm asking that you guys pray for him as well. If there's anybody else who want to be included in a prayer, if there's anybody who would like to lead us out in prayer or want to say anything, this is your time. You can press the one button, and I will open your mic. If not, we're going to go ahead and do the benediction and go out with prayer. I pray that each and every one of you receive the word from God on tonight. Those scriptures that was read was actually, you were actually listening to the voice of God. In the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. In the New Testament, God lives inside his people. Thank God for Jesus. I have a call of 504-231-93. Your mic is open.
Yes, I just want to say good evening. I got in a little late, but what I did hear, I thoroughly enjoyed it. This is Minister Parker. I always enjoy the lesson and just want to say a prayer. Thanks. Praise report. God answered a prayer for me, one of many. So I just want to encourage everybody or anybody who's out there waiting on God and waiting to hear from God for something. You just have to be patient and wait on the Lord. Thank you.
And I thank you, Sister Parker, for giving your praise report. Because you see, you know, God created us for praise. And when God does something in our lives, we should give him praise. Because someone who don't believe could hear your praise report. And that would be the thing that helps them to get to the next level. Or to trust God even more. So I thank you for giving your praise report. And thank you. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible I read the other day when Jesus was passing through with the Passover celebration. And somebody said, Jesus said, if the people didn't praise him, the rocks would cry out. So God's going to get his from you, me, the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees. This is his creation. And he created everything for his glory. So thank you for that praise report, Sister Parker. Glad to hear your voice and glad you called in. Thank you. Anyone else? If not, we're going to go with the benediction and we're going to go ahead and close tonight. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, we thank you for the word that went forth on the night. Lord, I thank you for everyone that took time out of their busy schedule and called in to the Words of Wisdom Broadcasting Station. Lord, I pray that your word was not returned void and you giving them some food for thought and you encouraging them through your word and you strengthening them through your word and you let them hear your voice on tonight. Lord, I'm only a vessel to be used by you. And for that, I say thank you. I praise you. I give you honor. I give you glory. Because you alone is God. I thank you, dear God, that you do not have to go in counsel to decide to do something for me. Because you have all power in your hand. And you could do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, for whoever you want. And for that, I'm grateful. And I thank you. Bless the people, dear God, that called in, the ones who have a desire to call in and didn't. Lord, I thank you for letting us be on the air for all of these years, dear God. So we know it's not man, because we man would have been gave up. But I thank you. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name for all of our sake. And that's the program for tonight. I want you to know that, and I'm asking you that you do as 2 Peter 3:18 said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that's what's going to sustain you in these troubled times. God loves you, and so do I. And that's our program for tonight. Good night. Be blessed, and if it's God's will, we'll meet back again next week, same time, same station. And now as the week, as you go into the rest of the week and the beginning of next week, give God the praise. Good night.